I will be reading Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. All of you should honor marriage. You should keep the marriage bed pure. God will judge the person who commits adultery. He will judge everyone who commits sexual sins.
Amen. 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 Preach the word, Daniel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
They were talking on TV yesterday about some man that lived to be 150 years old, and I'm glad that I'm not destined for that, I don't believe. I am a 68 model, though, which makes me 41 this year. I grew up in the 70s. Now, I don't consider that a real blessing from my standpoint, but I grew up in the 70s. And something that I found really disturbing as a child, this Equal Rights Amendment. Now, as a child, I knew nothing about what all that meant. But I knew that it scared me because what I saw as a young boy was that the women of the world wanted to rise up and conquer all the men. Now, that's what I saw as a young boy, okay? Looking back now through adult eyes, I think some of their complaint was well deserved in that these women in many ways were made to feel oppressed and somehow second class. Our family, I'm talking about my mom and dad and all that, our family saw the ERA as a confront, or an affront, I might say, on Christianity, aimed right at destroying the fundamentals of godliness. But now, I think it was more like the top of a pressure cooker. How many of you use pressure cookers anymore? Man, I grew up to the gurgling sound of a do-do-do-do-do-do. I think that it was more like the top of a pressure cooker letting off steam. It's my proposition that women never wanted to take over this world. Listen to me real close. But women just wanted men to be real men. You women can say amen, it's okay. Something lacking back then and even today. Today, in a continued effort to talk about the family, I want to talk to you about male spiritual leadership. So in getting started, first of all, if you're a male, I'd like for you to stand up. That means if you're a little boy, if you're a baby, if you're really old, young, in between, okay, I want you to know something. You are whom I'm talking to, okay? You may be seated. I'd like to let you know that most of the organization of my material today, first and foremost, is found in the Scripture. But a good book on this is written by F. Legard Smith called Male Spiritual Leadership. I recommend that book. He writes another one called Men of Strength for Women of God. There it is. There's some good books along that line, but anyway, I leaned heavily on Male Spiritual Leadership by F. Legard Smith. He is a brother in Christ and does one of the best comprehensive studies of this topic that I've ever seen. So I want to get started in this way. I'd like to read 1 Timothy chapter 2, so I'd like for you to turn there with me. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. And while you're turning there, I'd like to say this. My next study is going to be about what God expects from the woman in a marriage. Well, that happens to fall on Mother's Day, and I thought to myself, wow, that's not good. But my wife said, sounds good to her, so I'm seeing other women saying yeah. So I've got some, I don't know what we're talking about next week, but getting some ideas there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. Therefore, I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness, but I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. Here in this text, God is telling us there are some things that I want men to do and to be about, and there are some things that I want women to do and to be about. But I ask myself, why? Why can't we all do and be about the same thing? That's what our world is telling us. Have you not noticed that? Our world tells us we're equal, we've got the same task, there should be no variation at all. That's what our world is screaming to us. God says, no, you know what? There's some things I want men to be about, and there's some things I want women to be about. And I ask myself, why? And I continue on in verse 13 and 14 and listen as God says, you know what? Here's why. For, because, verse 14, 13, it was Adam who was first created and then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. I don't know about you, but when God says, well, here's why, I go, huh? God says, look, I want you men to do these things and be about these things, and women, I want you to do and be about these things, and here's why. Because I created Adam first, and because the woman was deceived. How does this play a part? I ask myself, how does this play a part in the roles of men and women in the family and even in the Lord's church? My only answer to you is just what God says. God says, He points to the beginning of time. So that's where we go. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn back to Genesis chapter 1, and that's where we'll get started. Paul gives us direction to the creation, so that's where we'll go. And the first point that I want to make, I'm always trying to be fluent in the things I'm saying so that you'll really understand it pretty easy. I want to spell my points out to you today. So if I do any redundancy, you'll understand. Point number one, men and women are equal but different. Okay? There you got it, just in case I don't do a good job of it, okay? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 says this, that God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. The word man here in this Hebrew text is the word for human or mankind. There's no distinction in this text between a man and a woman except to say that God created the both of them and God created them equal. So men, I want you to hear me. I want you to hear God. Man is not superior to woman. Now, do you understand that? Do you understand that God created us equal? He made us equal. We're not any better as men than women. God didn't create us in a superior, we're not superior to women. That's my point. Men and women are different. I know this to be true. I've seen the pictures, okay? Women are different than men. Women are different emotionally than men. You know, some things I say with harshness and I think, I said it right. And my wife cries about it because it disturbed her sense of emotion. It's not that she's weak and I'm sorry. She's made different than I am. We are equal but different. You understand that? God wants us to see that. God wants us to understand that we can be equal but different. People across this nation, even members of the Lord's church, have bought into the idea that men are here and women are here. Let me get out here so you can see. Men are here and women are here. If you think that way, you need to adjust your thinking because that ain't what God's saying. Men and women are created equal. That's what our Maker tells us. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. But as we cross into chapter 2, we find the... And now here's point number 2. As we cross into Genesis chapter 2, we find the establishment by God of male spiritual leadership. That's what God expects within the family. Male spiritual leadership was given to Adam because he was created first. Why was he created first? 1 Timothy chapter 2 suggests that there's a reason that he was created first. When you look at the Old Testament, you understand one thing for sure. The firstborn male child was always consecrated and set apart for works of God and to lead and to head the family. That's what God said. The firstborn male child would be set aside. Adam was the first male. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. Look, Adam was created first. We can even see the idea in Christ himself in Colossians chapter 1. Christ being the firstborn over all creation and yet head of the church. So men, I want you to understand something. God has placed you as the head of your families, whether you like it or not. God has given you that responsibility. And God wants you to take your responsibilities with all the respect that is due a creator. Male spiritual leadership came with authority. Now see, I want to stop and say that we live in a world where authority is not the thing that we should be about. Nobody ought to be telling anybody else anything that's right and wrong. We live in a world full of toleration, right? But you know what? God doesn't say that. God said, you know what? I set the man as the head of the family. Now what good would it be to set him as head of the family without any authority? Oh, by the way, you're head of the family, but you take a back seat and just take as it comes. Did God say that? No, God said, look, I'm going to give you authority. And when we cross into chapter 2, we see an interesting thing. We see Adam naming the animals. Do you notice that? And do you know something throughout the Scripture? To name is to have authority over. When you read the entirety of Scripture, you understand that the ability to name is the ability to have authority over. And that's not the only place we could go to prove that point. A lot of proof texts. But we're short on time, so see me afterwards. If you want to see some of that, go to Ephesians chapter 5. Read through there. You'll get the idea, okay? But Eve was Adam's missing part. I want you to think of the fact that Eve was what was missing in Adam. And I'm here to tell you, Adam, he was seen to be lonely. He had something that was missing. And God made Eve. Now, Eve was beautiful. I saw the pictures. She was what Adam was lacking. But within the family, she was not to be the leader. She was to be the, say it with me, girls,
helper,
helpmate. Oh, and hasn't the world kind of turned that little phrase around, made it somewhat degrading or secondary in nature? She's my little helper. Oh, come on and give me a break. Is that what God was intending? Not at all. Let me tell you what, church. God, the same word for helper is used of God. God is our helper in times of weakness. Psalms chapter 54 and verse 4. Helper or helpmate means counterpart or mate. It does not mean, now men, I want you to really take this into consideration. It does not mean maid. It does not mean someone to jump and fill your glass every time it gets a little bit empty. That is not what God has in mind here when He made Eve. God made Eve to fulfill Adam. But how often do we see that in the wrong way? Oh yeah, my wife told me to be a little quiet. Sometimes I just get really passionate about what I'm talking about and I lose sight of the fact. Last week, apparently, I was really loud, so I'm going to try to tone it down this week. Let me tell you, Eve was a wonderful fulfillment to Adam. She was a blessing, created on an equal level to be a helper to him. And you know what, men across this world, men in the church even, have made such an ugly thing out of that. Genesis chapter 3, we find the first breach of male spiritual leadership. Sin entered the world. Eve was tempted, and she took that fruit off the tree and she ate and cast all of humanity into sin. Shame on her. You guys quit smiling. All you men are thinking, she did it. But you know what? You're wrong. You're wrong. It was not Eve that cast us into sin, but it was Adam. Here we gain some real insight into male spiritual leadership. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14 says that Eve was deceived. Deception means she didn't understand what she was doing. You see, God had not given the command to her not to eat. Now, God expected her not to eat. I'm not saying that. But God gave that command to Adam, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. And it was Adam who was supposed to depart that information to his wife. It was Adam who did a lousy job of instructing his wife on what she ought to do and what she ought not to do. And not only did Adam fail to instruct Eve properly about this matter, but he stood there, like I said last week, and watched her violate the commands of God and never said a single word about it. Let me tell you what, guys. We're really quick sometimes as men to jump in and save our wives from an attacking grizzly bear. I'm telling you what, I'm ready right now to fight the world's biggest grizzly bear. You know what? Even though I want to do that, sometimes I fail at trying to lead spiritually. I lead over here in areas that don't really make a difference, but I don't step up to the plate in matters of spirituality. Men, I'm here to talk to you today about stepping up to your responsibility, spiritually speaking. Every man in here could do a better job. Some of us do better than others, but all of us can stand improvement when we come to think about the idea that God has called us to be male spiritual leaders. Adam was the first one to sin and usher sin into the world. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this: "Therefore, just as through one man," this is not the word for mankind, this does not include female, this is man, male, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. Adam didn't step up to the plate. And look what happened to his family, spiritually speaking, because he didn't step up to the plate. I think that most sin and corruption... Now, did you catch that, I think? Would you please underscore that, okay? I think that most sin and corruption in this world is because of men, not because of women. Now, you women can... You know, the women aren't smiling like us guys would be, you know? They're sitting there going, "I'm hearing what you're saying." Women, you see, don't fill up all of our prisons. It's men. Men that won't step up to the plate. Point number 4. I want to talk to you briefly about God's covenant with Abraham. The sign of the covenant was circumcision. A sign between God and man existed just for the man. Have you ever looked at the Old Testament law? Seems a bit chauvinistic in different areas, doesn't it? Do you know that if a woman had a baby under the old law, and if it was a girl baby, she was ceremonially unclean for twice as long as if it was a male? And you have to start looking at that and saying, well, what is it that God is saying? God is not saying that women are worth half as much as men. That's not what he's saying. We know that for certain. But what is it that he's trying to say? I'll tell you what he's trying to say. God is trying to tell Israel day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, year after year, God is saying, look, I want men to be the spiritual leaders in the family. Not just in the family, but in the body of God as well. Why? Why not just let women lead? You know what? I heard about the Women's Day yesterday. I heard about Dawn doing a great job speaking and Mary doing a good job speaking. I heard about these ladies. Are they not able? Are the women not able to? Let me tell you what. I think I see this as true, and I'm just going to say it. There are some women in God's kingdom that are far outstretched in their leadership abilities that of any man that I know. The ability is there. But God says, that is not what I want. And you say, oh, but what about Deborah? Is that what you said? I'm glad you brought that up. I want to talk about that for a minute. Judges chapter 4 and chapter 5. First of all, I want to make mention that whether a prophet or a prophetess, it didn't matter. They never took the leadership role in a worship service. Okay? Now, God speaks through whomever He chooses. Okay? He can speak through a bush, a donkey, or even an Oklahoman. Deborah was a judge. two things involved in that statement. She was a military leader, and she was a judge, just like you might think as a judge, making discernment between the people. But during this story of Judges chapter 4 and chapter 5, it came time for Israel to go to war. And Deborah's general named Barak came to her and said, "Hey, you know, it's time for us to go to war. I want you to lead us into war." And Deborah makes one of the most godly statements I've ever heard a woman say. She says, "If I lead Israel into war, the honor will go to a woman." And she wasn't trying to be arrogant about that, but here's what she was saying. She says, "You know what?" She says, "It's a horrible thing when the men of Israel will not fight unless they can hide behind the skirt of a woman." Ooh, did I say that? Is that politically correct? I don't care whether it's political or not. But hey, men, let me tell you something. God does not call you to hide behind your wife, whether she's got a skirt on or trousers or whatever else. God puts you out in the lead position and expects you to do your best with being there. Women are not honored for battle. Women are honored in God's Word for being nurturers and sustainers. Judges chapter 5 is a really wonderful passage. In Judges chapter 5, we see a song of celebration. Chapter 5 and verse 2 makes this awesome declaration. "When the princes of Israel take the lead, praise the Lord." I just suspect that godly women all across this nation may say the same thing. When their men are willing to stand up and take the lead, praise the Lord. And I just suspect that they could say just the inverse of that statement as well. When men of God supposedly will not stand up and take the lead spiritually, oh no. Verses 6 and 7 of chapter 5 says that mothers had to stand up and fight because the men would not engage. Verse 8 goes on to say that there wasn't even one sword found in Israel. Only wimpy, AWOL male spiritual leaders. And you know what? Sometimes that might be us, guys. We have to constantly examine our walk with God and the way we are leading our families to make sure that we are not AWOL in the male spiritual leadership category. I appreciated one thing in class. I think Sam really brought it out. He said, "You know what? If I'm teaching or preaching and I say something wrong, I want you, out of loving desire to please God, to come and approach me." Because what he's saying is, I take my leadership seriously. Thank you, Sam, for, you know, I feel the same way. All of us need, but you know what? It's not always been that way. When we first got married, my wife would sit down and say, "Now, Dan, you might want to consider these things in regard to spiritually leading the family." And you know what I do? Bible says be silent. I've grown a lot since then, right? She says amen. Yeah. Good. But how do we think about our leadership role? God says, hey, this is really important. The story of Deborah is not a call for wider roles of women. Deborah was simply a mirror to show Israel's men their disgrace. Okay, now I want to say this. Women hold a very important place that men often overlook. Proverbs chapter 31, we find the description of a godly woman. And I want to stop for a second and tell you, I'm not throwing this in to patronize women. Okay? I am not doing that. But I am wanting us men to understand the value of a godly woman in our marriages, in our families. In Proverbs 31, this wife of noble character, I just want to list off in bullet fashion about 8 items that this noble wife is about. And I want all of you men to think about whether you give your wife enough room to fulfill some of these things. Okay? A noble wife is worth more than rubies. Her husband trusts her. She takes care of the food and the clothes. She buys a field. She plants a vineyard. She trades. She earns. She helps the poor and needy. The text says that she has strength, dignity, and wisdom. Can you imagine taking all of those wonderful attributes, men, and putting them in a box and chaining that box up and not letting them out? Godly men do that sometimes. Well, keep my wife at bay. Keep her in her place. Hey, you men don't set your wife's place. It's God that does. And I'm asking you this morning not to restrain your wives, but give them the room to do the godly things that God's called them to do. Verse 31 of Proverbs chapter 31 says, "Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates." Oh, you know what? We really connect with the idea that the man is always at the city gate. He's doing business there. He's receiving honor and all this. But you know what God says? Let the woman be praised. Let her works bring her... In other words, let her be recognized for all that she is and all that she's done in the Lord. And I just wonder, men, listen up here. What would it be like if we would discover the treasure that God has given to us and utilize that treasure? How would the kingdom of God be different? I suggest you it'd be vastly different. So not only am I going to try harder to recognize my wife's own values to the Lord, the church, I'm going to try to recognize all of you ladies in the same way. I think that God wants us to be that way. Men have a tendency. Now, you ask any of the ladies and they might tell you men have more than one tendency, and that's true. But men have a tendency for sure, and that's to think that male spiritual leadership is about power and control and the right to make decisions. But God says, you know what? If you'll just put all that stuff to the side and listen to me, I'll tell you what male spiritual leadership's about. Okay? It's about leading. Have you ever seen a cowboy leading the cows? Nope. You see a cowboy driving the cows with whips and cattle prods with electric devices in the end. Some men want to do that to their wives. Move them along. Get on, little dog. You see, men want to do that. Shame on us. God calls us to be leaders. Not cowboys, but leaders. Gently leading as the great shepherd lived. Well, then Jesus came into the world. Our Savior had come. And you know what? He treated women with respect and honor. He knew that women were a vital part of God's kingdom. And he treated them in that way. Jesus valued women. women. Did you know that? Have you read about Jesus lately? Go read any of the Gospels. You'll find some really good stories about the Lord. He puts value on women. Why? Because God placed great value on our ladies. But when it come time to appoint leaders in the kingdom, when Jesus was going to appoint the apostles, who did he choose? He chose men. Was it because he feared the Jews? Was Jesus chauvinistic? No, but Jesus was obedient to the Father, wasn't he? God's plan for male spiritual leadership was not just an Old Testament concept, but Jesus brought it forth in the New Testament also. Men, I want you to hear me out on this. It is God's design for you to lead your families. Well, then came the Grecian widows in Acts chapter 6. Tables needed waited on, but kind of in a public way. And you know who were appointed to that? Men. Men needed to learn to step up and take the lead in a manner of service. Not to be served, but to serve. And you know what, guys? I want to tell you what. That's what male spiritual leadership is about, whether we're talking about the home or the church. It's about service. You want to be a leader? You need to learn how to serve people in the home and the church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, the prophet Joel is quoted when it says, "Your sons and your daughters will prophesy." Some people think that that's a changing of God's intention, but it's not. God hasn't changed His mind. God hasn't said, "Okay, men, you take a back seat now, and I'm going to let the women step up to the plate." But in the New Covenant, God has taken, in this Acts chapter 2, he's talking about the day of Pentecost and all that. And in the Old Covenant, you had the women, they weren't circumcised as far as their relationship with God. They actually kind of, in some way, maybe not very well stated, but you get the idea, they were connected to their husbands. They come to God on the bootstraps of a man, so to speak. God was teaching them the principles of male spiritual leadership. But when you cross into the New Covenant, God takes for granted that that lesson has been learned. Now, women also are circumcised spiritually through baptism right along with a man, right? But that did not change God's intention for who led the family, and we're going to see that through the scriptures here in just a moment. Corinthians chapter 11. The wearing of veils. How many women here today do we have who have got a veil on? That's a loaded question. This can be a tough text, but I'll tell you, I think there's three things that we can gain out of this text for certain. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as soon as I get there. You see the idea beginning here, talking about headship. What it means to have the role of a leadership, whether it's God to Christ or Christ to man or man to woman, is talking about headship. Now, there seems to be three basic things in mind, and I want to bring them out because I think they're applicable for our discussion. First of all, equality can exist with authority and submission. Now, the world says, stop there. If somebody has authority and somebody else is yielding to that authority, that does not mean equality by any means. God says, you know what? It does mean it. Because the text says that God is the head of Christ. Well, I thought, isn't Christ God? John chapter 1. Yes, God is in authority over Christ, but Christ is in submission, but they're equal. There you go, guys. I want all you men to pick up on this. In the family unit, there can be authority, and there should be submission, and we'll talk about that at a later time. But that doesn't mean anybody's better than anybody else. We're equal. Because you see the very same thing within the headship of God. The second thing in this text talks about the covering or the veils. Many different viewpoints are seen on this passage, but there's one part of this passage that is unmistakable. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 10 says, therefore, in conclusion to talking about this matter, he says, therefore, the women ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Apparently, the Corinthian women were taking their newfound freedom in Christ. You know where Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, there's no more Greek or Jew, slave or free. There's no more male or female. Apparently, some of the Corinthian ladies were taking that to an extreme and removing their symbols of authority. You're not going to have any authority over me anymore. It's kind of what I get from the text of this reading, okay? They were using it as a symbol of emancipation or liberation. And I think what Paul is saying is, if that's why you're taking it off, put it back on. Because God wants the man to be the leader in his household and even in the Lord's church. The third thing brought up in this text is verse 7. The idea of role reversal. The man shall not cover his head. We think, you know, at first thought, I'm really disturbed when I see on TV men dressing up in drag. Okay, some people find it funny, and I got to admit, when I first see it, it's kind of funny at first, but then it turns sad for me. But God doesn't want the man taking on the role of a woman. As much as God doesn't want the woman taking the role of a man, God does not want His godly men to start taking the place of what He asked for the women to do. See, there's things He wants the men to do and things He wants the women to do. In church, I have seen Christian men who are faithfully trying to be obedient to God. I've seen them get off on this thing, to get mixed up on this. I've seen godly men who want to stand aside and not engage in anything that God's called them to do. And God says, I don't think so. Now, you know what? There are areas in my life where I do step up to the plate spiritually where God has asked me to, and there are places in my life where I don't step up to the plate. I'm just telling you, I'm talking about Dan, okay? I've got to constantly be thinking about my obligations. It's a continual struggle for me to be the man of God that God wants me to be. I never do it completely in such a way that I'm perfect, but I am always called to think about it, to read God's Word and see where I need to improve. Men, are you willing to do this? Are you the type of man who says, I'm just all I can be? God has done all that He can do with me, and this is just it. If He don't like it, tough. You know, we usually don't say that to God. We just think in our heart that somehow that's okay. God says, I don't think so, Tim. Here's my plate, and I want you to step up to it. I'm just wondering what quality of men that we have here today. How much are you willing, men, to be men of God and put your thoughts and desires to the side and step up to God's plate in faith and be the man of God that He's called you to be? It's not easy, is it? I'll tell you what, it's one of the greatest fights in my life to try to be what God wants me to be. Sometimes I lose more than I succeed, but I keep trying. something I want to encourage you to do today. Maybe, and I'm not, I got a couple more points, so don't get too encouraged that I'm wrapping up. I want you to leave here today knowing that you can be a better man of God than you've been, no matter who you are. Okay. I have no idea where I am. So why does God have men lead in the worship service? 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 34 says the women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves, just as the law also says. It's certainly not because they're not able. I heard some of the really good ideas that come out of that lady's day yesterday. Would like to have been here. Maybe I'll listen to the tape, you know. It's not because the ladies are not able. I think leading in the worship services encourages a man to learn to take it home with him. When a man learns to lead in the church, he also learns to take it home. I hope that the scripture reader, Josiah, this morning, I hope he learns something about leading in the public service, serving God. I hope that as the trays passed down the aisles, that men were seeing that as an act of service. I hope they were learning to lead. I want to make a confession to you. Boy, I really get... That's a really good way for a public speaker to get people's attention, because you're like, get to us. Here's my confession. I think that women are more spiritual than men. Women, I'm not talking to you at all. I'm talking to the men. Have you ever noticed that it's women who usually have a better sense of morals than the men? Have you went to a Christian bookstore lately? If you're a man, here's what you do. You go in the door and you say, where's the reference section? Because I'm going to prove my point. Women go in the door and they say, where's that section that's going to help me have a better relationship with God? Do you know why? That's why. That is why that these Christian bookstores, why they cater to women. They got those fancy chairs with little flowers on them. That ain't for us guys. So I say that for this reason. We can learn stuff from our wives, and we ought to be, because God has placed them in our lives to help us to grow. Some have said that being a leader is a privilege or an honor. And in some ways, I suppose that's true, but in more ways, it's not. Stephen Farrar wrote a book called Point Man, a really good book that all of you guys should read, talking about male spiritual leadership, and he points out the obvious. When an army unit advances in battle, you know the first one to get shot is the guy leading the bunch. You know, being a male spiritual leadership is a point of danger. We're out front. We're meeting the grizzly bears spiritually and other kinds too, right? But that is where God has directed us. It's a burden, but one to be taken seriously. Lagarde makes a good point in his book that I think I'll bring up. He says, men are kind of like the railroad tracks. Railroad tracks give direction and carry the weight of responsibility. And it's the sweet women that give the locomotion to move us down the tracks. You know what I'm saying? Women are complementary to us. They're meant to fulfill us. How do you view your wife? Through the years here, guys, as I've seen marriages struggle, one thing continues to be constant. That is, men don't want to step up to the plate spiritually, and that causes problems in their marriage. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had a problem in your marriage? I'm raising my hand. You know what? I've also had a problem from time to time in my thinking. Men, let's stop talking about what women can and can't do. And let us start talking about what God has called us to be.
Amen.
After all, that's what a woman really looks for and can't find many times, is a man that's willing to step up to the plate. So, if you're a man, if you're a male, I want to ask you to stand again. As a servant of God, and through His mighty word, I charge you to lead your homes as God leads you. Not in a degrading way, not with power and control, but with the love of God. You may be seated. We're going to have an invitation song, and I have a specific thought in mind. We sing a song of invitation that gives anybody the ability to come down front and request prayers or to be baptized if they need, to help fill any need that they have. But guys, I want for you to think about whether you actually walk down the aisle or not. I want you to think about making up your mind to strive at pleasing God in this great responsibility that He's given us to lead our family and even to lead the church. Leadership comes at a great responsibility. And now, I want to ask you to do something else. If you have failed in your leadership, that would be all of us, because all of us has failed at some point. But maybe right now you're going through a great struggle in your leadership at home. I want to encourage you to come down here and get these elders, tell them what's going on in your life, and have the church pray for you. Because you can't fix what you won't admit. I don't know who said that, but they ought to say it again. Yeah. Don't let the world hold you back and just say, I'm going to approach it the way I've always approached it. That's a guy way, isn't it? But the servant of God, you know how the servant of God does? Lord, man, I have really messed this up. I give my life. That's what a servant of God does. A servant of God gets down on his knees and pleads to the Father for help. See, you were just a little bit edgy as I got down on my knees, because that's not proper, is it? Did you feel that just a little bit? That's that worldliness pulling us back and saying, let's do it the worldly way. And you know what God's saying? I don't think so. Do it my way. Humble submission to me. If you want to do a better job at leading your family, and you want for the church to be praying for you, I want to ask you to come as we stand and sing, and I'll be the first one to ask for you to pray for me also, that I be a better spiritual leader in my family as we stand and as we sing.